ESPN 1000 on a sunny Sunday morning. It's Mark Zander and Brian Hanley reunited, and it feels pretty good there, Brian.
Mr. Z.
How are you, pal? Yeah, it has been a while. You guys are talking round ball, college basketball, and now we're into baseball. It's about damn time. I've been waiting for this for a long time. A lot of people have, and we're already two games in. Cubs should have been three games in, but they're both playing today, and it's not enough to take away for the whole season. You know, two games gives all kinds of hope to Cubs fans. They look really, really good. And one game for the White Sox and the collapse of the bullpen. But, you know, two games don't make a season, Brian.
No, but I'll tell you what. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't expect the Cubs to be atop the division. Not that this is going to last. I mean,
they're in first place, right? Go ahead and celebrate.
No, yeah. No. I mean, I didn't think they'd spend one day.
Right.
Considering who they were going against the first two games, I mean, they could, you know, realistically be 0-2.
And this is exactly why I point out how impressive that's been. I mean, the Brewers, obviously, you know, they played sloppy. I'm not saying that they lost it and the Cubs, you know, won it because of their sloppy play, but, you know, the Brewers are a formidable opponent, obviously.
And well, they can't find the strike zone. I mean, Burns and Woodruff, you're going against those two guys.
Yep.
Right? And it's Cy Young finalists and all that. And I don't know if this, it probably, if I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan, I'm much more concerned about where my team is at to start the season. But, you know, forever we've been saying the Cubs have no plate discipline, right? Mm-hmm. They will not take a walk. And guys like Javi are no longer here, some of the biggest culprits. But to their credit, these guys, if you're not going to throw them strikes, they're going to sit there and let you take seven bases on balls. So they'll say, okay, you know, I'll get there. If you want to issue a pass, I'll take it.
Yep.
It doesn't have staying power. I'm not, you know, there's a reason fewer than 30,000 people are showing up, whether or not, because this fully is a rebuilt team. But Matt 68 tweeted at me because I had a snapshot that I tweeted out of the Cubs sitting on top of the division from MLB.com. He said, you're going to be talking about the possible parade routes, the best routes for the
We will cover that today in hour number two.
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm just saying that if you're Craig Counsell, you better figure this thing out because, yeah. I mean, what they have in the first inning yesterday, they had, a run across the plate without even a hit. Right. I mean, between hit by pitch and base on ball.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, their play was awfully sloppy, and they've got enough talent to figure it out, but it is kind of a shaky start. And meanwhile, it gives Cubs fans something to get excited about, whether it's temporary or a little longer than temporary. But, you know, we're seeing Nicky. Nico hitting that home run, and you've got all the excitement around Suzuki. So now
Marcus Stroman, who has fallen in love with this city and with this team and with the fan base.
Do you remember when he got signed?
Yeah,
I mean, he was on Twitter every day just extolling the positives of about, you're right, and about being in Chicago.
He should be a life coach because it doesn't seem like he has a bad day ever, right? He just has the most optimistic viewpoint. But, you know, God bless. So there are a few things to at least enjoy. I mean, they've been entertaining games, even in you know, the rivalry with the hit by pitches. We've got to get into that because Wilson Contreras, the look on his face after he got, you know, turned, he got it in the back and he goes to first base and he's just like shaking his head and yapping. Like 15 of his hit by pitches in 59, he's been hit 59 times in his career. So the Brewers account for 25%, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, and interesting, I mean, it just, he really had a pretty good, you know, said, I just don't want to get hurt. He just doesn't think it was intentional. But, you know, God bless.
I love what he said. He basically said, look, if you're incapable of throwing inside,
don't do it
because somebody's going to get hurt.
Right.
That is a more mature Wilson Contreras, don't you think?
Yeah. And Andrew McCutchen knew he was going to get hit. So we should.
I think we all knew.
Yeah. We should take a listen to him because that was one of those. OK, so there's no pushing, shoving, no punches thrown, but they're all meeting out between the mound and home plate. Right.
Yeah.
And everyone after the fact, kind of very, you know, very cordial in their comments about everyone understood that it wasn't intentional, but it's got to stop. I mean, for the so-called rivalry between these two teams, everyone's like, yeah, well, you know, we had to go out there and the bullpens had to empty, which is difficult now because they're underneath the bleachers. But Andrew McCutchen, let's take a listen, because he knew what was coming. He just, being baseball, there's a right way to do it. Yep. That's what he said.
It's the first pitch, right? It was a cutter for a strike off the way. And then they proceed to, have three more chances. I don't know if it was because I'm a little older and I was raised in a different era, but, back when, the guys knew it was coming, you got it right away. And didn't wait around. There was no lollygagging. It was, you're going to get hit and you're going to get hit. And you had a couple tries to do it. If you missed, oh well, get the next one. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is, you're throwing a slider away on the first pitch for a strike, and, what are you trying to do? You're trying to make me guess, like, oh, you're going to pitch to me now, and then you're going to try and hit me and get three chances. That's a little much, man. I've been hurt before with that. 2014, we broke Goldschmidt's hand, broke his wrist. I went in the next game, I knew I was going to get hit. And I had two sliders thrown to me the first two pitches, and I got 95 up and in the ribs, and I ended up breaking my ribs. So I do take that a little personal when, you're throwing off-speed pitches, for the first pitch, and then you're trying to hit somebody, to hurt them. That's exactly what you're trying to do. You're not just trying to hit them, you're trying to hurt them. So I think there's some guys old enough over there who hopefully understand that. And know that there's a different way to do it.
Is that what the conversation was as you were?
Yeah, that's exactly what the conversation was. And, I commend the umpires for letting me have that time to let them know that's how I felt about it. You would have hit me right away, I went right to first base. Wouldn't have thought much of it. I would have just went right to first, knew it was coming, cool, wiped my hands clean. But, so I had to let them know, like, come on, man, there's a better way to do it. A lot of young guys over there, maybe they don't know how to do it. But if you don't know, maybe you should ask. So, that's kind of that's the way I view it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
312-332-3776. A very thoughtful answer. He makes a solid point there.
Yeah, I love old the school unwritten rules
versus
of baseball.
New school. Yeah. And the problem is they're unwritten. So not everybody is aware of them. Yeah. And sometimes unwritten rules just kind of pop up when it's convenient. But I do get what he's saying.
Yeah, he's up there expecting to get at the first pitch. And then when you throw one away for a strike, okay, you're going to pitch to me. Oh, here it comes. My point is the Cubs have been entertaining. The Brewers, I don't know if they're in trouble, but, when your first two pitchers, your top two in the rotation, look like they did the last 2 days, I think Craig Counsell's got to be a little concerned. And then on the south side of town, the White Sox in Detroit, how important was that game to bounce back after the way they blew the game?
I'll tell you something, Brian. Now, I am going to have a meathead take here, but boy, that first game number one, but when I saw Hendricks give up that home run and I saw how that game ended, it just seemed like there was no off season.
Yeah, I'm watching.
It was just, a continuing of the same story. And it's like, wait a minute, we have this great bullpen. What is happening here? Now, Bummer has not lived up to expectations. A couple years ago, he was just aces, right? And then last year, not such a great year. So we're looking for a bounce back. And what happened with his short time in the opener wasn't too impressive. And we needed him to show up yesterday. And thankfully, he did. And hopefully that's going to build his confidence.
Well, how about that? So he gives up 2 runs and 2/3 of an inning in the opener.
Right.
And he did say after yesterday that he's not happy that the balls in play that they're putting contact on are actually hits, and then he has to strike out the side to get out of that jam, right?
Right.
He had a little too much tightrope walking that it should be easier than that. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be. And Ronaldo Lopez, I mean, good Lord, I know somewhere Fred Huebner was throwing his beer mug at the TV. Right. He was in midseason form, but he got out of it with a double play, and they got the play at the plate, and he covered, so on the pitch got away. So he wiggled out of that one, but I'm sitting there watching that going, man, really?
Well, yeah. Right. But, you know, those opportunities to wiggle out of those situations can be confidence boosters, you know, moving forward, because, you know, we've seen Reynaldo get inside his own head. And hopefully that near miss, that close call, will just kind of build up that confidence, because we need him now. We're down. Can you believe?
I know.
To be down our two aces, two games in.
How about that?
Lance Lynn didn't even see the beginning of the season. He didn't even see the the start of the season. And now Giolito with this.
He's cruising. Giolito is absolutely dealing. And all of a sudden he feels a little,
and
he's
taking himself out of the game. We heard how serious that is, because he's a competitor. He doesn't do that unless there's a real good reason.
Well, best case scenario is he missed a couple starts, but they don't know yet, right? They have to see. But, I mean, four innings pitched, no runs, one hit, six strikeouts, a couple walks, 61 pitches. It was terrific, and he was just cruising. And next thing you know, one little thing, just like A.J. Pollock, all of a sudden he's thinking he's got a double, and all of a sudden he feels the hamstring.
Yeah, so, he pulls up, he hits the brakes, and he feels that hamstring, something happened. And again, when you hear people like Steve Stone talking, I know he's going to bring this up again. One of the greatest analysts on baseball broadcast, he's going to bring up the fact that it was an abbreviated spring training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that really does screw things up. These players have to get ready quicker. And it could lead to injuries. And we have just had such a hard time on the South Side with injuries. Oh. And starting off this season with this, I mean, we signed Cueto, but now we're missing Giolito, and he's on the 10-day. Obviously a 10-day, but, you know, who knows where it goes from there. AJ's day-to-day. Lance Lynn is 10-day. And Joe Kelly is 10-day retroactive to April 4th. I would like to see him, because we need all the help we can in the bullpen. And Mancata is 10-day as well. So pretty tough on the South Side.
And you know, you got Michael Kopech going today, and they're going to be very conservative with how many pitches and innings he's going to be out there for, because he's just transitioning from the bullpen into the rotation. But it's, he got roughed up a little bit in some of the spring outings. So I'm always interested to see Michael Kopech, because, it's about 2 years behind the timeline where you thought he was going to be a part of this thing, right?
Yeah, it has been a slow process, but he's finally here. I look forward to seeing how much they are going to use him today. I mean, what's that magic pitch count? We don't know, but I'm all in favor of bringing him along slowly. We certainly theoretically have the bullpen to back that that situation up, and we're going to need these starters to be fresh, because we're down a couple.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know if Detroit's the team you have to worry about in that division. A lot of people believe that to be the case. Having watched the first two games, again, I know it's early. I can't say for certain that Detroit team has staying power. They may be a year ahead of schedule, but they certainly made some offseason moves to believe that they are on schedule, and this year is a year that they can compete.
I think they're going to be a thorn in the side of the White Sox this year, for sure, more than they have been in recent history. Yep.
Yeah. But, you got to take care of business today. You want to feel good about getting that series after the way you dropped the first one. So here's hoping we can get to the lineup. I know it's out about a few minutes ago. So
yeah, we'll do that when we come back. 312-332-3776. Talking baseball, both sides of town here on ESPN 1000. And we're going to eventually get to talking about the Bulls. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers as well as 10:35 this morning. It's Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. This is ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
With maybe a couple of guys down in the bullpen due to pitch counts yesterday, some add-on runs would be nice. 1-0, hit in the air to right, maybe add-on time. It is gone! That is a two-run homer for Grandal, and it's 4-0.
Well, that was nice to see Brian yesterday. Grandal getting a hold of one. We needed that. We needed to see that power from Yasmani Grandal. It's Brian Hanley and Mark Zander, ESPN 1000, talking baseball both sides of town. And it was also nice to see Grandal and Lopez be able to make that play at the plate because, yeah, I'll tell you, that did not happen last year.
Nope.
It was sloppy last year. And when I saw that unfolding, I just had flashbacks. And again, you know, it's early, but in your fandom, it's hard to reconcile the idea that, oh, it's so early, not to be concerned, because you just want your team to play best they can every day. It's not going to happen all the time, but we saw that, you know, happen successfully. And based upon what we saw last year, that was a big improvement.
Well, that inning could have just really gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
If they don't make that play, and maybe, you know, Detroit probably shouldn't have sent the runner, but because the ball didn't get that.
Did Detroit send Javi? We don't know.
Yeah.
Javi sent Javi. You know Javi. That.
It's probably spot on. But how impressive is Dylan Cease? I'm still not sure about the mustache. I'm working.
Last year, I think Fred and I had a chance to talk to Dylan, and he was doing the Keiko thing. And I asked him if he was inspired by Keiko. Obviously, he's inspired by I don't know who now. With that mustache. But yeah, it's a unique look. But you know, mustache or not, he showed up.
And he,
you know what? Last year, it seemed like he just tried to nibble too much. We've talked about that, right? And he just tried to finesse too much. He would lose his ability to nail things down. And he really had it going yesterday. His stuff is nasty. And if he's just willing to, you know, have the, you know, put the ball in play and let the fielders do the work, that's going to help him. And it just seemed like yesterday, even though he dominated, he had that
strikeouts.
Confidence. Yeah.
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 And retired 8 straight. So even when, you know, when he put a couple guys on, he just, like you said, buckled down and it didn't get out of hand.
Right.
And, you know, that's huge. And to get 79 pitches out of him when we just went through the litany of how much you need pitching and starting pitching because how depleted you are at this point. It was huge. It was huge for him. Not sure about the mustache, though.
The jury's out on that. But I was hoping, and again, it's hard if you're of a certain age, the way you like to see your favorite sports play and the idea that even though we are dealing with the starting pitcher issue with two of our big horses out, I was hoping to see Dylan pitch at least the seventh. I was hoping he'd go through all the seventh, and then we've had 8 and 9 in the bullpen. But that's why Tony La Russa knows what he's doing. We're assuming he does, and he probably did pull him at the right time. But I thought I would have liked to see him just go a little further. 312-332-3776. We've got Dan in Barrington wants to talk about starting pitching here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, how
Welcome
are
in.
You?
Good, yeah, good.
Unfortunately, the best pitcher on the Sox pitched for the Giants yesterday.
And
the guy we got to replace him is going to go 2 innings today. And there has never in the history of Chicago been a more overrated athlete than Michael Kopech for having done nothing. When does this guy have to stand up and actually be? This is his 8th major league season, and all we do is make excuses for this guy. And you could say
he had a lot of injuries, Dan.
Pitchers.
He had injuries.
So
yep.
Yeah. So what? So what? When's it time to man up? We're expecting 3 innings out of him today. The fact they did not re-sign Rodon is a crime, and we will pay for it. He was the best pitcher on the team last year. Giolito put on 20 pounds. He's already hurt. So, I mean, you can keep playing in parade routes for the Sox. This is a disaster. And I know you're a card-carrying, flag-waving apologist, but you got to look at this. You got to look at this the right way. This team's in deep trouble, and Kopech is awful. So now, tell me why he's good. Tell me why Kopech's good. It's your turn. Speak. Tell me why he's good.
Whoa, buddy. Okay. Dan. Boy, Dan's fired up today. Speak.
You okay, got a dog pal. Treat? You got a
okay,
dog treat
pal.
In front of you?
We're apologists for the White Sox. Look, if we're ready to call Kopech a failure, come on, really? And we're already ready to call Carlos Rodon a huge success? And I will beg to differ with Dan. Carlos Rodon he lost a lot by the second half of the season. He was not what he was when he started the season last year. Do we all remember that, Brian?
Yeah. No, he...
Yeah, so this idea that Rodon was the person we let get away, we'll see if he can last, if he can put a whole season, one whole season start to finish with the Giants together, successful. See if he can do that, because he did not do that last year with the White Sox.
What, do you get 2 years with the Giants?
I think so. I think so. I mean, but I want to see one solid year, start to finish, no injuries, dominance, before we make a statement like that.
Michael Kopech's injuries are his fault? I mean, that's what Dan was implying,
yeah, basically, right?
Right.
And, eight seasons? Has he had major league action for eight seasons? Is
no.
that correct?
No, that's not correct.
No,
I mean, he's been in
professional. I just let Dan wind himself up there.
Speak.
Speak. Yeah.
Roll
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
Scratch.
Yeah.
High five. Shake.
ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. I don't know. You want to counter what Dan and Barrington had to say? Whatever you want to say. We're talking baseball right now. Jesse Rogers coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on ESPN 1000, where we're White Sox apologists.
Card carrying.
Card carrying. Yes, I have the card in my wallet, if I can only find it. It's next to my Vax card.
What do you... Sometimes they show that at the restaurant, you know, or the United Center.
Apologist card? They're like, no, yeah. We need to see your Vax card, pal. I don't care about if you're making apologies for the White Sox.
I don't think I have ever said speak to my dogs.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Really? Speak to your dogs? Yeah, no. It never works.
Actually, I don't want my dogs to speak. I don't want them barking at anything that moves.
You know what? I have a hound at home.
Yeah.
And he conversationally barks every time I open the mic in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Super convenient. And he knows he's messing with me. So, no. No, dogs don't need help making any noise. They make plenty of noise on their own.
You mentioned the sun at the top of the show. Is it great to see the sun for more than 5 minutes?
It has been out for more than 5 minutes, at least a couple hours since I got myself out of bed. Yeah, it is. It has been nice. It's going to be a nice week this week, and to have the White Sox open up this week at home, we're going to be in the 60s. So yeah, spring is here. Hopefully, it is going to hold tight. Now, the Cubs. They are top first place
tell us which ones are the best.
Maybe Jesse will have a map. I'm sure, doesn't he? He would have a map, right? He probably is in charge of creating that map. Yeah, it's been fun on the north side. I'm glad. You know, there's a lot of
2-0 for the first time since 2016. Now, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean anything except...
It doesn't, but it gives Cubs fans something to be excited about.
Well, I mean, at least they were...
For now.
At least they were entertaining to watch. My bar is so low with this team is... I mean,
so that's
at least,
key, Brian. Where's your bar? If your bar is low, you're bound to have a good time anytime.
I didn't think they put up 9 runs in it. You know, how many times in the last 2 years you couldn't get 9 runs in a week, right, with this team?
Yep. You're absolutely right. It's exciting, and Hendricks looked great.
Justin Steele looked good.
He did.
Again, the Brewers are heavily favored to win this division because I'm not sure what the Cardinals are doing, signing 40-year-olds, Pujols and you know, Wainwright's 40 or whatever, and then you got a bunch of young guys. They should be in the mix. I don't believe the Cubs are going to be in the mix. But when you start 2-0 against a team like that, at least for the people who went out there and braved the winds and the cold, that it was worth their time. John Greenberg, our buddy from The Athletic, tweeted out pictures of the beer prices out at Wrigley Field on the opening day.
Yeah.
And because they're cashless at the concession stands, it was like $14.99 or $14.49. I mean, they were just, it wasn't rounded up to a dollar figure because you're paying with a card or Apple Pay or whatever.
Right.
And first of all, you know, that doesn't give you a pause about really having more than one beer at the ball game. Good luck. I mean, you have to take out a mortgage to if you have season tickets, if you want to drink at every game.
But, yeah, that's old school. That's when you drink before the game, you take the L.
Yeah.
And you have one beer, but you've already prepped properly. That's the way to do it.
I try to get the flask in, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The stories I have about going to the stadium in the 80s when we had season tickets and line the underarm with beers, two beers, cans of beer. you know, in the underarm of the Hawks jacket. You tuck your hands in. They didn't frisk you. You walked in. You had bag of peanuts in your pants. You're all good.
Well, I'll tell you what, a bag of peanuts in your pants.
Was I happy to see anyone?
Yeah, the second balcony smelled like urine most of the time because of guys who were packing their...
Believe me, it took everything for you to walk up on that that urine-coated cement up in the second story with a couple of beers in you, not to fall. It was like an ice rink up there.
Were you ever in the basement of the old Chicago Stadium?
I was not.
Okay. Well, so back in the day, and this is for, you know, people who remember the old stadium, I was covering the Blackhawks back then and the Bulls. The steps, the old wooden steps from the basement where the locker rooms were up to, especially for hockey games, behind the net, they would open up the gate. They would lead to the gate behind the net, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were so steep and so rickety. And who was it? Steve Smith. When he came to the Hawks, but he
number
said,
he
remembered when he was with the Oilers, he said, the feeling you got walking up those steps as an opposing player and hearing that crowd, 20,000 people ready to go, he said, you felt like you were down 2-0 before you even put a foot on the ice because you're just trying not to fall off the steps and they're so steep and so long. And then you open up to guys like you who had prepped properly with the right. beverages. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That place was like the inside of a speaker, an audio speaker. The whole place just vibrated.
And
we can talk forever about a building that's been gone since 1994, but it was a magical place. But if it were still up, I'd kind of look at it like, I love you, but we're over, just like I do Wrigley for me. Wrigley, I'm over it.
They've done the best they could.
And that's all you can do. And it is a national landmark. It's a treasure and everything. But it's awfully nice to have very modern conveniences. 312-332-3776. In 5 minutes, we're going to talk to Jesse Rogers about what's happening on both sides of town as we're underway with the Major League Baseball season. It's Hanley and Zander here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Zander here at ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. The sun is shining. We've got baseball today. We've had baseball for a couple days now, a couple games in. Looking good on the north side, south side, a little shaky, but again, only a couple games in, Brian. And we are joined by Jesse Rogers. Hey, Jesse, welcome in. How are you doing?
Good morning, buddy? Guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, good listening to you. Good talk and good listening to baseball conversations.
Yes,
instead of that
rockout
BS, right?
Yes, it is so good. And we're going to rely on you for the parade route for the North Siders. I'm sure you've drawn that up already today, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna drive the parade route later today.
Jesse's on it. He always is. He's on it. He's our guy.
They still have the double decker buses parked somewhere, so they're ready to go.
They're warming up right now. They started them up.
Yeah, they're over behind the bleachers there by Murphy's. They've got them ready to go. But I heard you earlier, Brian. It has been entertaining the first couple Cub games. It will be an more entertaining offense right now. That's for sure. But all four games, Cubs and Sox, have been entertaining in their own ways. So it's been fun. We'll see if the Sox can survive these injuries, and we'll see if the Cubs can, you know, sort of build off this fast start. The Cubs' schedule isn't too bad. They go to Pittsburgh and Colorado. Those are beatable teams. So we'll see. Where do you guys want to start?
Well, we just had the president of the Michael Kopech fan club call in. So what your perspective on we've been waiting for Michael Kopech to be in the rotation. Here he is today. Expectations for him moving forward. Has he been, our caller Dan was.
Thinks he's a bust. He's done. He's over. What is so great about
Michael
Kopech?
He's got a man up. He's got the injuries are his fault. He was angry about the whole Kopech situation. We know that they're going to be conservative with him moving on initially anyway, but what can you expect, should you expect, especially when you really need starting pitching right now?
Well, look, he's got talent. We know that. But and to quote Theo Epstein, and you've probably heard a lot of people in the media do it because it's so true, progress is not always linear. There's ups and downs. Mm-hmm. You take two steps forward, one step back. Some guys, are just boom stars right away. But those are rare. Those are rare. Even great talents can go forward and backwards often. And maybe we'll see that with him as an everyday starter. But remember, this is his first time being an every 5 day starter. So let's let it play out before we call him a bust.
Right. Right.
That role last year isn't easy. Ask Mike Montgomery when he did it for the Cubs. It's not an easy role to start. And really, now he knows what he's doing every 5 days, and we know he has talent. But, yes, they are going to be conservative. I saw, I don't know if it was his last start or second last start in person in Arizona. Wasn't good. It was what you would say if you were going to predict a bad start. A lot of walks, a lot of just sort of up and down pitches, like a lot of non-competitive pitches. But you know the talent is there, so it is going to be a work in progress. And there's a reason, if everything was clicking with this pitching staff, he'd be a 4 or 5, right? That's what he is right now. Even though he has talent better than that, you try to temper your expectations because it is his first time as a starter. So that's the way I'm looking at him. I'm leaving the bar a little bit lower than his talent would scream at you. And then maybe he'll build towards something bigger as the season goes on, or more to the point, as his career goes on.
Hey Jess, what do you think is the biggest challenge for him to acclimate himself to being every 5 day starter and having getting to that point to where we can rely on him for 6, maybe even 7 innings?
Yeah, it's cliche, but just consistency. Obviously, keeping the ball in the strike zone. Not getting into those innings that he three walks. That's what I saw in Arizona in that start. Just this one bad inning that just blows up his start. So just consistency inning to inning. I know that's a little cliche.
Is it control though?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think so. I mean, if he's in the zone with his devastating nasty stuff, he's going to be good. But if he's just all over the place. Yeah. The guys like him tend to throw non-competitive pitches too often. And you guys know what I mean with that. I mean, if you're not anywhere near the zone, it's kind of the pitches Javi Baez would swing at every so often, right? It's why swing at that non-competitive pitch?
Right.
Same thing with a pitcher. I mean, most of the time you're not facing a guy like Javi Baez. You got to get it near the zone. So more competitive pitches. And yeah, better control, less walks, more consistency, that kind of thing. It's all kind of cliche stuff for a young pitcher.
Mr. Zander pointed out that he felt like it was the season from last season just continued on with the bullpen.
Yeah, like there was no off season when that first game with the collapse of the bullpen.
And even Bummer, had to get out of it by striking out the side after making it back to back hits and made it more interesting than it needed to be. Again, early, but any concern that they got to figure the bullpen out quickly?
I mean, a little bit, but let's look at the positives. Bennett Sosa coming in with his debut the last 2 days. Nice little double play ball yesterday. So, and Bummer, locked it down yesterday as well. They need Sosa and Bummer from the left side because now the Crochet's down. So there's some good and some bad. Look, I Liam Hendricks didn't say it, but opening day, dirty inning, pitching a multi-inning save, come on. I mean, the chances of that working out were kind of slim in my mind. That's just not what you want to do. But obviously the Giolito injury pushed everybody up an inning and all that jazz, and they had to use everyone up. Help is on the way in the form of Joe Kelly, though, he's got to get up to speed, obviously. I'm not too concerned. As long as Hendricks takes care of the ninth, I think they'll be okay, especially if they get a performance like this they're getting out of Sosa. Now, the problem is you're moving Ronaldo Lopez into the rotation, Velasquez into the rotation. So if you're asking me some concerns overall with the pitching staff, yes. Yes, when Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito are down. But the way I think of it, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams in this mode, you're trying to survive April. You're trying to survive the shortened spring training, especially with the White Sox with these injuries. You're not looking at a 15-5 start. If Sox fans go nuts because this team starts 10-10, then they're dumb. Then
it's way too early to pull the fire alarm.
Yeah. You were hoping for an okay start, even if everyone was healthy.
Right.
But without everyone healthy, you just need to survive this month, get Lance Lynn back, get Giolito back, and then maybe take off a little bit later. But it's not going to be pretty this month of April for the White Sox. There's no other way to say it. When your top two starters are down, it's going to move everybody up a notch. You're going to have to get some help from the minors. There's going to be a lot of up and down guys from AAA to Chicago and vice versa. And you just want to survive. You can't expect some great record after the month of April.
So before we go to the north side, are we going to see Cueto on the south side pitch?
Yeah. Now, he's got to get up to speed, but you're going to see him. I mean, unless something crazy happens in Charlotte, he gets injured, he just doesn't look good at all, you're absolutely going to see him. I mean, they're using up their depth right now with Lopez, pitched yesterday, but he's probably going to start soon enough. And we'll see what Velasquez does after Kopech here. But absolutely, you're going to see Johnny Cueto. He just has to show that he has something left.
You know, my expectations for the Cubs were very, very minimal. And I just wanted to be able to stomach watching a complete game. And I've been able to do that first two games out of the gate. I mean,
your bar is so low.
Well, I didn't think they'd be in first place a day, which is crazy to say in a season, but, 2-0 for the first time since 2016. But the good things are, and I'm Jesse, I need your help on this. Their plate discipline to this point, is that just the Brewers pitching is so awful they couldn't swing at any of those pitches? Or has something changed? Because for the last couple of seasons, we've been begging them to take walks, or Cub fans have, right? And so they took as many walks as they could get from a couple of really good starters. And conversely, Justin Steele, went out there and dealt five scoreless innings. So there's some glimmer of talent there for two games in.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I absolutely think it's a combination. There's no doubt this lineup has changed over into a more contact-oriented one. They've, through two games, seen the most pitches per plate appearance of any team in the majors, but you're also talking about Burns and Woodruff, two kind of power pitchers with a shortened spring training. I actually think the Cubs are probably going to win today. I think Stroman's pretty psyched to make his debut. I think
Excited. He's excited. He's been excited from day one.
Excited, they all said, yeah.
And this is the time where the Cubs can actually take advantage of the cold weather. They don't have as much power, but power doesn't play as much in April anyway. So I do think the Cubs can get off to a good start. I also think they're starting pitchers a little bit ahead of the game. They're not a power pitching staff. I think there's no doubt Hendricks and Stroman are more ready at the top of the rotation than two guys like Woodruff and Burns. And I will say this, and I referenced this with Carmen the other day. I wish I had said it straight out. Now, first of all, I disagree with you completely, Brian. I think the Cardinals are the class of the division. I know what Vegas says, and I would bet the Cardinals right now to win the division. Not just based on the first 2 days. They had five Gold Glove winners last year. They had a Rookie of the Year finalist in Dylan Carlson. It's the last hurrah for Pujols, Molina, and Wainwright. And at least two of those players are still playing at a pretty good, not at the top of their game, but pretty good in Wainwright and Molina. That is a complete team, even with Flaherty's injury. I think I did say that to Carmen, that the Cardinals would win, but I didn't say this part. I think the Cubs will finish closer to the Brewers in the division than the Brewers will to the Cardinals. And I still think Milwaukee's a second-place team and the Cubs are a third-place team. But I think those two teams, I think the Cardinals are going to win the division by 5, 6, 7, 8 games, something like that.
Wow.
Well, it's a combination. The reason I don't like Milwaukee as much is, where did they improve? Where did they improve? And you are asking three starters, Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta, to do exactly the same thing they did last year. Already they're not doing it. To ask three starters to repeat this amazing year they had the year before, that's asking a lot. And that's just hoping that Milwaukee does that to repeat what they did last year, because they are not any better offensively. They're about the same in the bullpen. And I just don't think those three can do it again. And we've already seen the two of them get off to starts, much worse than their first couple starts last year, though obviously there's a long way to go. So I don't think Milwaukee's as good as they were last year, because I don't think they can pitch as well. And the Cubs offensively right now, I think, have an advantage. I think when we get to the heart of summer, the Cubs are certainly going to miss the power that they lost in the lineup last year, especially from the left-handed side of the batter's box.
Solid points, Jesse Rogers. Thanks for joining us today to talk baseball. It is a pleasure to be talking about them actually playing.
See you on the
bus. Absolutely, guys. You got it. Take care.
All right.
Okay. You got it.
Jesse Rogers here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Xander. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And we promised that we'd mention the lineup for the White Sox. But we're going to get into Bulls talk, because they've got playoffs coming up. But are they ready, Brian? We'll delve into that and more. 312-332-3776. We're back after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and on the ESPN Chicago app, the best app for a radio station in the whole wide world. It is so easy to use. Everything is there. Podcast, if you miss anything, catch it right there on the ESPN Chicago app, free in your app store. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, and before we get into the Bulls, and we've got a Twitter poll that we'll get into as well. We promise the Sox lineup. And, of course, this is the home of your Chicago White Sox, and pregame starts at 11:30 right after our show here with Connor McKnight as the Tigers and the Sox go at it 12:10 start time. Tim Anderson at shortstop. He returns from his brief suspension carried over from last year. Then you've got Luis Robert in center batting second. Jose batting third. At first, you've got Mr. Jimenez in left field batting cleanup. Then Andrew Vaughn is our DH today. Josh Harrison's moving over to third base as Yoan Moncada is on the IL. And with A.J. Pollock day-to-day, we've got Adam Engel in right field. Reese McGuire acquired in that trade for Zach Collins from Toronto. He is behind the plate catching, and that means Yasmani's got the day off. And then Danny Mendick is at second base, Brian.
Yeah, interesting, because Grandel goes yard, and he's not out there. And again, it's a grind. I get it. But it because David Ross did the same thing with Nico Horner at the first home run in 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think he'd be back out there the next day, and David Ross was waiting for him in his cubicle after the game to tell him he was not going to be starting the next game, and he just wanted to communicate that with. He said normally he would just want to leave a guy in there and see if he could start putting some things together and heating up a little bit. But he also said, similar to what's going on with the White Sox, the bullpen really, I mean, the White Sox have defined roles, and the bullpen's executing them more consistently right now. But David Ross is not fixated on finding a closer and just naming him right out of the gate. So, you know, interesting managerial decisions and strategies with a young team really not expected to go anywhere and just trying to get as many guys opportunities versus a team on the South side that is expecting to be a playoff team and win this division, and how you handle veteran guys like Grandal.
Well, you know, I think Tony, and we saw this last year, you know, Grandal wasn't, and for good reason last year, he had a rough year defensively.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
But he wasn't that everyday guy, and I see where you're going with this, but if Tony's going to sit him every once in a while and give him a little chance, now we don't know, we're assuming he's not banged up. He did start last season with a pretty bad knee, and we didn't really see who Grandal eventually was going to be at the plate until he got past that. And obviously, as you mentioned, he hit a home run yesterday. So, yeah, it's interesting. But if that leaves more in the tank for Grandal when he is playing, you know, that obviously will shake out well. I'm looking forward to seeing what Reese McGuire can do for us in that backup role.
Especially with the overrated Kopech on the mound.
You know,
how he handles him. Yeah.
I don't know how he is still in the league. 8 years already. Eight years. How old is he? 23, 24, eight years?
He was a prodigy. He was
15 years old. He made his debut.
Yeah, he was the Doogie Howser of pitchers. I mean, it seems like 8 years, but look, because you know why? We were watching him pitch, and, you know, games were being broadcast at the minor league level when he was pitching, right?
Right, yes.
So we've been
aware of him for a long time,
yeah.
And that is the truth. But injuries, you can't control what happens. He had some pretty serious injuries. Then he had the COVID year. He excused himself. I mean, maybe some people are a little upset about that. But, you know, let's put all that in the past. Let's see where he goes from here on in.
You know, it's a good way to transition to the Bulls right now because they do have injuries. I don't believe that explains the, 6-15 free fall.
They better not.
Where were you on February 24th? Remember that? Were you in Florida at that point?
Yes, I was. I was in Florida on the beach.
Well, they were in first place. That was the last day they were in first place, the Chicago Bulls. That's how quickly.
A long time ago. Yeah.
To from first place to flirting with the play-in tournament, but here they are, the sixth seed, And we will find out today by whatever happens in the last day of the regular season here, Milwaukee, the 76ers, or the Celtics. So the Bucks, Sixers, or Celtics will be the opponent for
and
the
that's
Bulls.
Your Twitter poll, right?
Yeah. Which one? I know there should have been a fourth choice, like you're high. What are you even talking about? But which presents the best upset chance? If you look at these three teams, I think they're 1-10.
The Bulls do upset, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're 1-10 against these three teams in the regular season. So it's just, for conversation's sake, if they were to get their stuff together, but Lonzo Ball's not coming back and Caruso's back is not going to be better and Zach LaVine's knee isn't going to be 100%. But beyond the injuries, Mr. Zander, this has been from the feel-good, positive, everyone's watching the Bulls games for a reason because they're a likable team. And by the way, they're a good team and one of the stories in the NBA.
Right, and let's not forget, early on, they were playing really well despite the injuries. Now they have more people back. They don't have everybody back.
But you can't explain, defense has been an issue for a long part of the season. When Caruso was out in particular, everyone's like, well, who sets the tone for that? And the answer is pretty much nobody. But now the offense, now you're that embarrassment against the Charlotte at the United Center.
They were out of it.
Before the anthem was over.
It was
Benny
close.
Benny didn't even go get the 50-pound bag of popcorn. He was heading for the parking lot. He knew 79 points in the first half. There's your defense. But they haven't been able to score all of a sudden. Now they can't. I mean, they really, to even get to like 110 points or whatever, that not only are they allowing 133 points to a bad team like Charlotte, they can't score. And they're jacking up threes. They're not hitting those threes. I think they're averaging – oh, I don't know, something like 105. They haven't broke 105 points in six of their last seven. 110 points, six of their last seven. So it's, the fourth choice should have been, no shot, Cap. They got no shot against anybody.
They got no shot against anybody. And look, this is not the time. If they're saving something, if they're conserving something for the playoffs, boy, that would be an awful surprise because it doesn't look like they're ready. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in and talk about the Bulls and how ready they are and who out of those three do they have the best shot of upsetting in the first round of the playoffs, and if you have a fourth choice, whatever that is, share it with us. 312-332-3776. Brian, when we come back, we have audio. Zach LaVine, will hear from him, and we'll hear from Coach Donovan on what is going on with this late season poor play in offensive.
And I have a non-sports thing that's really been eating at me. It's kind of like what's up Fred's can without Fred or his can here.
Oh, good. But yeah, because his can is not anywhere to be seen.
I want to ask you if you've been victimized by this or if this is happening to it's really bothersome.
Okay. All of that and more coming up. It's Xander and Hanley here on ESPN 1000.